have you seen cases where this mold toxicity can do irreversible damage?
Oh, yeah. They can be permanently in a wheelchair so they can't walk.
Wow.
Or walk very labored because it damages the nerves. The neurotoxins damage the nerves, and sometimes they don't get out soon enough to have permanent damage.
The good life is one inspired by love and guided by knowledge. You'll find both love and knowledge here on The Misdiagnosed Life. Here is your host, Beverly Butler.
I want to ask about Alzheimer's. Do you feel like mold could be a big cause of that?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because there's a recent article that came out where they tested 10 brains of patients who had died of Alzheimer's. And of those 10, 100% had mold mycotoxins and DNA in their brain.
Wow.
And then they took another 10 who died of other causes, and zero had mold and mycotoxins in their brains.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, it's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a lineup of great content back at AmericaOutLoud.com.
As much as 25% of the population has these problems, and many experts who work with this problem feel that this is the reason that some people are chronically sick and they can never seem to get well. And it's also estimated that 50% of all the buildings in America have this problem also. So now you may be wondering, what in the world am I talking about? Buildings have the problem and people have the problem. Well, the problem is mold. And some people, you know, again, think this is one of the most misdiagnosed problems in the country. And of course, this show is about the misdiagnosed life. And we cover health and we cover other aspects of life. And there's a video on my guest, one of his websites, that is very interesting by Rishi Manchanda. And I want to read a quote that he has on there, which I think is very, very, very interesting, very good. He says, scientists now know that the living and working conditions that we all are a part of have more than twice the impact on our health than does our genetic code. Now, that's saying quite a bit, and I think that a lot of doctors are realizing that our environmental problems play a huge factor in our health, but most of them just don't know what to do about it. Well, I'm going to be talking today to a doctor who has worked with thousands of patients with mold issues that is mainly affecting their sinuses. He is an ENT specialist, and he's also created some products that actually work and that are safe that can help get rid of the mold. And so that is critically important. And one of the things I want to do on this show is not just talk about the problems and some of these things that not many people know about, that not many people are aware of, but also talk about the solutions. And I'm really happy today to be bringing a doctor with you that actually has some solutions to this mold problem. Now, Dr. Donald Dennis is an ENT surgeon who specializes in treating sinusitis and has discovered that most cases, which this is going to be a surprise to many people, but he has discovered that most cases are related to mold toxins, and he has developed several safe and effective products to treat this problem and help his patients get well. Now, welcome, Dr. Dennis, to the show today. I'm really honored that you are taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk about this subject. I really feel like this is a very critical subject, especially to those people who have roughly 25% of the population that has this problem. Now, I want to ask you, you discovered some years back that a lot of your patients have a sensitivity to mold, and that this mold is actually what's causing them to be sick. And I read something about where you said one of your patients left their home and went on like a vacation, went to the beach, and he came back and he said he felt better than he ever felt. And I think this was, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I want to hear your story behind this. you kindly listened. I mean, and that's a credit to you. You actually listened to your patients, but you were listening to this patient. He said that when he said he felt better, you started putting two to two together. So is this how you is this the beginning of how you figured out this mold problem?
Well, Beverly, first of all, thank you for having me on so we can educate the public about these issues that affect so many people's health. This particular patient had been sick for 10 or 15 years and been given everything known to man to help him, antibiotic surgery, steroids, allergy shots, you name it, we did it, and he didn't get any better. So he came back one day, and he was totally pristine clear, and he'd never been clear. So I asked him where he had been. He said he'd been to the beach for 2 weeks. So then I knew it was an environmental illness, and then later we figured it was an immune reaction to fungus. And if we think of it as treating the fungal load in the air and the fungal load in the patient at the same time, we get a good result about 94% of the time. So that's how it all started. Many people are very sensitive to fungus, and their reactivity to it is as many as 9,000 times normal. So a normal patient will react to fungus by eliciting 0.01% of their T cells, which is a white cell, in response to a fungal spore. That's normal. These people respond 3,000 times that, and each one of those 3,000 T cells secretes three additional inflammatory mediators called interleukins. So you've got 3,000 times three, so now you got 9,000 times the systemic inflammation for spores. So it doesn't require many spores for them to get sick.
Yeah, so they're just super sensitive. So they're having a massive immune reaction to it. They're so sensitive.
Right, right. Yeah.
Now, is this like an allergy, right? Like an allergy or just...
Well, it's a hypersensitivity to fungus, and it's caused by a hereditary defect in a T-cell receptor site. That's what makes them do this.
Right, because they have, is this the gene that makes it where they can't detox mold out of their system?
Well, it's a different gene than that. It's one of seven different genes on the chromosome, but it's not the same one. You can have somebody that's got this and can't detox mycotoxins.
I didn't realize that.
And then you can have somebody who doesn't have any sinus trouble and can't detox mycotoxins.
Right, but either way, they're in trouble.
Right, and so you know about the detoxification and the math and all that, where you can't methylate B12
right.
and THFR.
Right, right.
All the people that have the illness of mycotoxicosis have the gene, or they wouldn't be sick. So they can't get rid of the toxin as quickly as most people can. So there are two issues. You've got the allergy or sensitivity to the fungus, and you've got the toxicity of the mycotoxin that the fungus secretes. So some people may not be sensitive to the fungus itself, but may not be able to get rid of the mycotoxins, or both. So you can have both kinds of patients.
Yeah, and so they can, no wonder some of them get super sick. And as many people know, we've been over a year, over a year at a Lyme clinic in Florida, and the doctor there said 99% of his Lyme patients had the mold gene, where they couldn't detox that out of their system. And they had, now if you're talking about that type of inflammation, that's a huge amount of inflammation. And no wonder, I mean, they can get sick with a lot of different illnesses, and it seems that the root cause, from what I've learned at the clinic, the really can be traced back in a lot of times to that mold issue. Is this, kind of what you've concluded?
Well, yeah, all of them have some kind of exposure history. And either they've got a definite leak that they know about, or they may not know that they had a leak, but they have a humidity problem where they're getting the humidity over 50% in the house. And they may not see any mold or even smell any, but the counts may be toxic in the presence of high humidity. And typically in the South, the humidity outside may be 80-90% some days. And so if you're not removing that humidity on the inside, you can get a humidity creep, especially for a person who accidentally has set their fan speed in the on position versus auto. Auto only comes on when the compressor comes on and is removing moisture from the air. but fan stays on all the time, then the fan is blowing across the coil. It is wet with all the moisture it's removed from the air, and it puts the moisture back in the air, so you get what's called humidity creep in these houses, and you can get mold growing everywhere. And we have some patients that they thought they were doing a good thing by keeping the filtration going in the on position, but in the summer it's sort of the wrong thing to do because you'll fill up your house with fungus pretty quickly.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Wow, this is very interesting. So do you think along with, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, some of the products you've developed to help combat this problem. Do you think, I just want to mention this now, do you think it'd be beneficial for people with mold problems to get a dehumidifier and try to keep the humidity low?
Well, yeah, it would help, but there are two ways to do it. You can just put one in the room and set it so it drains to the outside. You don't want one that you have to empty all the time, because what happens is it turns itself off when it's full, and it's not doing you any good if you forget to do that.
Right.
So you need to have it drained to the outside. That's one way. It's simple. It works. But the very best way is to have one installed on the central system. But the problem is, if you install it according to manufacturer specifications, it's incorrect for human health. So what they do is install them incorrectly by putting the dry air going into the supply side and sucking the damp air from the return side. The correct way is to dump the dry air directly onto the coil. And then the dehumidifier is running all the time, and the coil never stays wet, so you never get fungal growth.
Oh, yeah.
That's the very best situation.
Yeah.
Most people don't know how to install. You know, if they're not invested in human health and have been trained to do these things right, they're not going to do it, because the manufacturer tells them in the instructions not to do it that way.
Yeah, yeah. But it's critical if you've got a mold issue, because you sure don't want to be growing the mold.
Now, right. You don't want to be wasting the dry air on the supply side.
Right, right. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some of the symptoms. Let's talk about some of the symptoms, people, other than, and I know, you deal mainly with sinusitis, but these people come in with a variety of symptoms. And with that much inflammation in the body, of course, you know, science is, you know, medicine is now saying that inflammation is the root cause of all the illnesses. And so what are some of the other symptoms and illnesses that you've seen that can go away when you treat the mold problem along with the sinusitis problem?
Well, it's a multi-system disease, so virtually every system can be affected. It depends on the individual, but typically most of these patients have what the patient calls brain fog, which is cognitive issues. They notice they're not as sharp. They can't remember a certain word. It takes a few milliseconds longer to think of a word. Or they are not. They can't do math in their head. They just notice they're straining to get by where before they could do things quickly.
So it's not always old age that's causing that. Yeah.
Right, and they notice that they're struggling a little bit in a handicap form. The other main symptoms that almost all of them have is fatigue of some degree. So what we found out is the people, if you grade them 0 to 10, where 0 is you can't get out of bed and 10 you could walk or run 10 miles, then the ones that are 5 or less and have a history of a toxic mold exposure, 53% of those patients have pituitary damage, so that they're missing either thyroid, cortisol, or growth hormone. And if they don't get those hormones balanced, especially growth hormone, they can never recover from the mold illness.
Does this do, and I know you, it probably can get to a point, but have you seen cases where this mold toxicity can do irreversible damage?
Oh, yeah. They can be permanently in a wheelchair so they can't walk.
Wow.
Or walk very labored because the it damages the nerves, the neurotoxins damage the nerves, and sometimes they don't get out soon enough to have permanent damage.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask about Alzheimer's. Do you feel like mold could be a big cause of that?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because there's a recent article that came out where they tested 10 brains of patients who had died of Alzheimer's. And of those 10, 100% had mold mycotoxins and DNA in their brain.
Wow.
And then they took another 10 who died of other causes, and zero had mold and mycotoxins in their brains.
Oh. Okay.
So it's interesting, and more study needs to be done, but certainly some of Alzheimer's is probably related to fungal exposure.
Yeah, so that's a good study there. Of course, it's not, I'm sure, conclusive, but, well, anytime, well, this is just something good for everybody to just be sure, try to be sure your house, your home is mold-free, because, you know, it's not good for anybody. And if 25% of the population has these problems, then that's one out of four. So more than likely, one, you know, family member could have this problem, especially if they're sick a lot. So this is something good that everybody really needs to do. Just, I mean, you'll just have a healthier environment.
Also, the one thing is the pituitary is known to have a receptor for candida, which is a yeast as a fungus. And some people get damaged from their pituitary from that receptor if they are allergic to the yeast and have an inflammatory reaction to it.
Wow.
So that's how the anterior pituitary, which is the part, that's the front part of the pituitary gland that makes growth hormone. And if you don't have growth hormone, you can't make any new cells. So those patients just have a slow downhill course and have accelerated aging. And so it's a medical necessity they get injectable human growth hormone if they've destroyed their pituitary gland.
Okay, so part of this treatment and all is actually anti-aging also, sounds like.
Well, you want to be able to make new cells.
Absolutely, yeah.
And if you can't do that, you can't get better. We figured that out by operating on a lot of people who weren't healing properly. And then I knew it was growth hormone, so we got together with two endocrinologists and we did a study to show this, and then we recovered these people. But growth hormone from all known causes is thought to be present in 60,000 people or 2 in 10,000 and finding 6,000 new ones a year. But the number is really over 50 million people from just mold alone. Mm-hmm. So the average endocrinologist maybe see 10 or 15 their whole career of people with growth hormone deficiency. And we had 400 people in a 5-year period. So it's a huge number of people who have this.
Yeah, yeah. So now, tell us briefly, give us an example of one of your more severe cases or dramatic cases of mold toxicity, and then they followed your treatment and they got better. Just kind of give us a quick example so people can, grasp a little bit about what's going on here with this mold problem.
Well, we had lots of these kind of patients, but one was a fellow, he was a famous gospel singer that was in a wheelchair for 2 years. He came to me for sinuses, but he couldn't walk. So I started asking a lot of questions. And as it turned out, he lived in North Carolina in a high rain content, a lot of inches every year, and lived in the woods. So although he fixed his house and the inside of his house was okay, the outside mold counts were so high that he could never improve there. So he literally couldn't stand up by himself. So to compound the problem, he had a car that had a leak in it that he didn't know about. And then when he discovered it, he going to the beach in the car with the windows rolled up. When he got to the beach, this is when he first got sick, he couldn't get out of the car. He couldn't walk. And then after a few days at the beach, he could walk again. And then when he got back in the car to go back home, it came back. So then he figured out it was the car and then stopped, using that car. But, you can imagine if you got a car that's contaminated and you got the windows rolled up, you got your head in a plastic bag forcing the toxins into your system.
Yeah, it's just like you're in a gas chamber, just like if you're in an airtight house,
Right. And so anyway, I told him that this particular patient was so sick that when we tried to immunize him to the fungus, we gave him a very weak solution. It was like 10,000 times. It was like a drop in the ocean. Well, this patient had an anaphylactic reaction to a test dose that small.
Oh, my.
Which was really unheard of, you know.
Yeah.
So we did all the things you do to reverse anaphylaxis and adrenaline and everything, and that worked. But then he, after 5 minutes, he went back in anaphylaxis. There wasn't anything else you could do for him. So what we did is just cut out the site on his arm that we made the injection. He recovered in 5 minutes, but had not been a surgeon, you know, just been a regular allergist guy, you couldn't have gotten him back. So
wow, that I know that was scary. Now you say your success rate's 94%, but what happens if a person, you know, and you say there are four reasons why some of your patients, if they don't get well, that is 6%. Tell us briefly what some of those four reasons are that if patients don't get well, what's going on?
Now, if they'll work these reasons and diligently, they'll get better. Number one is continued mold exposure, either knowingly or unknowingly. Many people, for whatever reason, they know the house is making them sick, but they won't get out into a safe environment for whatever reason. But if you can't make that leap and get out of it and not take anything with you when you're very sick, you'll never get better. And then others will get out of it into a safe place but take all their stuff with them. So what I tell people is think of it as if it's lice and don't use the word mole, because mole sort of makes you, where you got a lower thought process, you know, where lice makes you where you know that you got to get away from it, and can't be in there. So
yeah, and you've got to viciously clean it. You know, a lot of people don't think about mold, spores, and things like getting in the air and stuff like that. But it can do that and does that, and it can get on your clothes and your furniture, on everything. It can contaminate everything.
And it's alive, so it keeps multiplying.
Yeah.
So it's frequently, you know, they take all their clothes with them, and like their mattress or sofa or whatever, and they keep it. And they say, well, I can't understand why I'm not any better, because I'm in a different house, and the house counts look good. And that's the reason they're still in it. And so you got to be diligent about mold plate testing to make sure that you're in a safe environment. So the second one is sugar, meaning refined carbohydrates, all your bread, rice, potatoes, and sweets. If you eat those things, or grains or cereals or any of that stuff, you cannot get well, because it changes the physical shape of the organism, especially candida. It has a sugar receptor on the cell wall, and when the sugar hits the candida cell wall, it morphs the organism into an invasive hyphal form, where it's like changing a lemon into an octopus. So it's a totally different organism that has hyphae, which are roots that grow down. They're 3 feet long, and they're microscopic, and they go through tissue, and you have inflammation to it and tissue destruction. So you get resistant to antifungals when you eat sugar. So there's no way out. Number three is pituitary damage that we talked about. You got to replace all the hormones that are missing. And then number four is co-infections, which will be Lyme's, Epstein-Barr, cytomegalovirus, and can be herpes, or it can be strep, staph, diplococcus, pneumococcus, haemophilus, or any of those kinds of bugs. But most of these people, especially the Lyme ones, had tick bites years ago, and they got a toxic mold exposure, which dropped their immune system, and then the Lyme's broke out. So if you fix the fungus, usually the Lyme's gets a lot better because the immune system comes back.
Right, right. Now, if a person, I wanted to ask this too, if a person suspects they have a mold problem, what's the first thing they need to do? Just get their house checked? Or what would you suggest?
Well, they can do mold plate testing. You know, you can get those plates on the website, and it's microbalancehealth.com, or the shortcut is sinus5.com.
And this is your products that you've on your site.
Yes, we have mold plate test kits, and you can get inexpensively. You can test it yourself and do the colony counts. It's nice to send the first one to the lab, though, so you know if you got any really toxic organisms in the house. And then after that, it's just a question of counting the colonies on the plate after day five. And anything you can see on the plate that's a dot is a one. So what you'd like, if it's a patient's very sick, they need to be 0 to 2. But if they're sort of moderate, they could be 0 to 4, but not above that. So if you're like 10 or 12, you've got a problem.
Okay, so now if you really think if you do that and you have a problem, now you recommend two companies that actually know how to properly check. If you want to have it checked by a professional, you recommend two companies that you say have been trained and you've tested them and you know they know what they're doing when they're checking for mold. If somebody
right.
wants to do that, what two companies do you recommend?
The first one is called Mead Indoor Envirotech, and both of them are located in or near Atlanta, and
okay.
There's so many mold companies out there that get a weekend course, and they get certified, and they're spraying toxic chemicals in your house and not understanding the physiology of how to do this right. So it's hard to find a company that really knows human health and what they're doing.
Right. Most companies don't know what they're doing. Yeah. We've heard horror stories.
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's talk about some solutions. Now you've developed some products that have been proven and tested and proven to work. You say that you've been using these for 6 years, but I believe you told me the other day when we were chatting that it took you 20 years to develop them, and you've tested them, and you know it works because you deal with this every day. So what are some of the, say, the top four products? Let's briefly go over some of the products you have and what they do. But first of all, let's talk about the questionnaire. Now, if someone comes to your site, sinusitiswellness.com, there's a questionnaire that they can fill out, and it'll kind of give them an idea of, you know, maybe what their problem is. And what will this tell people, the questionnaire?
Well, it grades them whether they're slight, moderate, or severe sinus sufferers. And you can take the test, and it gives you a score, and it scores you slight, moderate, or severe. So when you click on whichever one you are, it gives you a printout of what products you should get and how to use them and why to use them. We're trying to lower the fungal load in the body and lower it in the air. So the body is first, and those products are simply a saline nose wash, which you actually irrigate your nose with saline, but you put the citrus drops in there. Citrus drops are four different citrus oils which have antimicrobial properties, like they're antifungal, violent, bacterial. So you put those in the saline, rinse your nose out, and then there are two other items. One is a nose spray called Citrus Drop Nose Spray, but it's different than a liquid. It's a herbal that has antifungal properties. And you use that twice a day, 2 to 3 sprays on each side. And then the third one is we want to impact the immune system. And to do that, we produce a product called Sinus Defense that is a sublingual spray that addresses the cell-mediated immunity, which means it attaches to the fungus or the organism which is attached to a cell, and then the white cell identifies that and takes it out of circulation. So it makes it a patient more resistant to the fungus because they can tolerate a little bit more than they could before, and it activates their immune system to address the fungus. So it's like giving, it's not an antibody, but it works like an antibody. It's like a transfer factor.
Okay, and you have something also for the pituitary, I believe, and does this help balance all of the hormones?
Well, it's a pituitary extract, and it's also got astragalus root and arginine in there. So each thing has a part in it to raise the deficiencies in the gland. It's a homeopathic, and all it's trying to do is support the pituitary function and raise the growth hormone aspect, and astragalus root is responsible for the telomeres. Telomeres are these little caps that go on top of the DNA that hold the strands in position, and as you age, they get shorter. So astragalus root stops the shortening of the telomere.
Okay, and that helps. That could help you live longer too. That has a lot to do with how long you live your telomeres. So so basically, your products work synergistically together to help you be healthier. Now, you also have some products for the home, for the house, and I think you have a laundry thing that you can wash clothes in to get the mold off of that. Tell us a little bit about that.
The laundry additive, all the environmental products are called EC3 products, and the laundry additive you can put in the rinse cycle, and it removes the fungus from the clothing or the sheets or whatever you got. If you have a really difficult situation, you can turn it on and let it soak in there before you agitate it, and then the longer you do it, the more the cleaner it gets it. But
yeah,
generally, just running it through the cycle works for most situations. And also, athletic stuff or, stuff that you sweat it in, it's really good about removing those odors.
And you can use it at every load, every washing.
Oh, yeah. Once you start using it, a lot of people really like it because it like the way their clothes smell. They smell cleaner,
Yeah. Now, the citrus-based products, that is what I've learned is the thing that you're supposed to use to kill the mold because it's safer. And what a lot of people don't realize is that some of these other cleaning products that other people use to kill the mold can be as bad or worse than the mold itself. And so if you're especially sensitive to it, you can get sicker. So you really need to use a citrus-based product that's been proven and tested to work, and that's also safe, and usually the citrus products are safe to use to kill the mold. Now, you've had your products tested. Tell us a little bit about that, because they're proven to work and you know they work, and that's really important. That's very important for people to know. Tell us a little bit about the testing that you've had done.
Well, we knew that these patients were getting better when they were doing the environmental protocol. And their mycotoxin levels nearby were going down. So we had the mycotoxin lab that does the human testing test the EC3 mold solution and the EC3 candle. The candle would remove the spores from the air in a 12x12 room in 3 hours. But more importantly, it removes the mycotoxins as well. So they proved that after about 3 hours, both of those products remove almost all the mycotoxins. That was really interesting because they didn't have another natural product that's ever been shown to do that. So
wow.
It's nice to know that it's actually doing what you think it's doing.
Right. That's critical. And with these mold patients, especially the sensitive ones, they know pretty quick if it's going to work or not because they're so sensitive to it and depend on, how they feel.
Yeah, but, all this is a Band-Aid treatment because
correct.
It gets the air. It definitely gets the air clear, but it doesn't get the contents, meaning the stuff in the house. So, if you've got a sofa that's contaminated or a mattress or a pillow, even though you got clean air, you're still getting yourself contaminated.
Right, and I'm glad you brought that up. That's a good point. You really need to give your whole house and everything in it a once-over, or either just get rid of some stuff, because you've got to get to the root cause of the problem. But this is something good, like you said, it's a Band-Aid, but sometimes, especially traveling, for hotel rooms or whatnot, it would be good to use as just something to help get you by if you're in a situation that's moldy and you're just going to be there for a short time. And it's also good, to use while you're getting your house, cleaned up and that kind of thing. So it's really good because these people, and most people don't realize how sick these people can get. And sometimes that's all you need. You're just grabbing for anything to get some relief so that you can function enough to, help yourself get better. And so I'm really glad that you have these products because, it's just hard to find products like this that actually work that's good for mold. And I really love the citrus space, and it's very safe. And that's another huge plus. It's not going to hurt you.
Now, the other thing, there's not anything on the planet that everybody can use.
Coconut. So that's true, too, now.
So We don't find many people, but it's a single-digit percentage that are sensitive to citrus. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really have a smell. But what we tell people to do, if you're fungal sensitive, all those people have a propensity to become chemically sensitive, like to perfumes or soaps or any kind of smell. So chemicals will make you more fungal sensitive, and fungus makes you more chemically sensitive. So you got a circle going that just makes you worse. So if we tell them to get the spray and spray it on a Kleenex tissue or something and be around it and smell it and be with it and see if it affects you or not. And if it does, you know, you don't use it. But it's pretty rare, but you'll find somebody who can't use it. We did have a patient that drank 2 cups of coffee out of it, and they did fine. It didn't have no diarrhea, no nausea, no sickness or anything. But
no, we don't recommend that, but it is safe enough if that happens.
we don't want people drinking it because it's an environmental product, but, you know, somebody's going to do it. If you got a baby, I thought was going to get into it. So I wanted to make something that could never hurt anybody. So
yeah,
that's what we accomplished.
Yeah, that's good. And that's a good point you brought up. It, you know, no one product. And this is something I do want my listeners to be sure they understand, that you understand, is that no one product works for everybody. I may have, you know, take product A and it do miracles for me, and somebody else can take product A and it makes them feel bad. And so, you know, you can't always, you know, judge a product by just how one or two people feel from it. It's kind of a good guide, but you always have to try things yourself and see how it works for you. And so I'm glad you brought that up. Now, where do people need to go to find out more information? You have a couple of websites. Let's give that out, and we'll also have these under the on the podcast page as well. But let's give out your both of your websites.
Well, the patient education page in the test is on the, it's called Sinusitis Wellness. It's Sinusitis Wellness .com.
Okay.
And then the other one is called MicrobalanceHealth.com. Microbalance, MICRO Balance, BALANCE, Health.com. And it's got a shortcut. If you can't remember that, sinus5.com takes you to Microbalance.
Okay, and we'll put these on the website as well. Now, if they feel they are having just chronic sinusitis and can't seem to get well, you specialize in this, and if they feel they need to see you, how can they contact you? Can they go to one of your websites? Is that the best way, or do you want to give out your number or over the, you know, how's best for people to contact you?
They can go to the website. We're on there.
Okay.
Or the office number is 404-355-1312. But generally, what the whole goal of this was is for the individual to be able to educate themselves and get on the right protocol according to their score and get well by themselves without a doctor.
Right.
And most people can't,
uh-huh,
unless they're incredibly sick, you know, then they'll need to go to the doctor. But the whole idea is to try to empower people to learn how to make themselves well.
Yeah, I always like that that approach when that can happen, and that can happen a lot. It can really happen a lot. Well, of course, now I do want to mention we're not giving medical advice or anything such like that. And we, you know, if you're sick, this is, you know, for information purposes only. If you're sick, you do need to go to your doctor and get it seen about. But if you do have something that you think is serious enough that's bothering you a lot with your sinuses, especially, you know, Dr. Dennis is a really good doctor to see, and so you may want to give him a call. And I just want to thank you, Dr. Dennis, for being on the show today. Is there anything you'd like to say before we end?
So many of these patients are chronic sufferers, and I just want to tell them, if you're out there, read this stuff and try to do what it says. I think you'll get some relief and also some good information, and it will help others.
Yeah, and I've looked at your sites, and you have some really good information on there. So do go to his websites. It's sinusitiswellness.com, and the short one The short URL on the other one is sinus5.com, and this will be on the podcast page on AmericaOutloud.com and also on the MisdiagnosedLife.com. Well, thank you again, Dr. Dennis, and thank you for listening. This is Beverly Butler, and you've been listening to the Misdiagnosed Life podcast and talk radio. And, of course, we're on the America Out Loud Network. Be sure and download our app. You can go to America Out Loud or to the App Store on your phone and download it, and it makes listening to these podcasts so much easier. So, okay, so that's it for today. So be sure and take care. Until next time.